Sex semen is becoming increasingly popular amongst dairy farmers around the world. 2020 was another record-breaking year with more doses sold worldwide than ever before. The benefits of sex semen include an up to 90% chance of a heifer calf from your best females and fewer unwanted bull calves. But what do you need to be aware of when using sex semen in your herd? How do you make the most of this innovative technology? To give us the best tips and insight into sex semen, I've invited two experts to join me in the studio. Klaus Langdale, Senior Breeding Manager for Viking Holstein, and Peter Larsen, Senior Breeding Manager for Viking Jersey. This is the Breedcast, produced by Viking Genetics. I'm your host, Louise Rowensvane. So, hello and welcome, Klaus Langdale and Peter Larsen, and thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Great to have you in the studio. So, Klaus, if we start with you, the use of sex semen is growing rapidly amongst dairy farmers around the world. Why do you think that is?
Yes, you're absolutely right. The use is definitely growing a lot these years, and I'm convinced that it is because there's in general a great trust to the product as it is. It's becoming a well-known product that everybody, a lot of people have experience with, and they see the value of it. And there is a lot of opportunities for a farmer when using sex semen in his farm management. First of all, there's a lot of good opportunities for him using sex semen, but also genetic progress is a thing you can optimize with this. So plenty of good reasons to see the growth in the sex semen sale or use. Mm-hmm.
Peter, you speak to Jersey farmers around the world, and you've gone to visit many farms in more than 50 countries. 70% of all doses sold for Viking Jersey in 2020 were sexed semen. That's way more than half, and a new record. Why is that?
Well, the main reason for Jersey breeders to really have adapted this sex semen strategy is are that the bull calves have very low value. So purebred Jersey bull calves are actually unwanted. They create costs for the dairy farmer. So we started the discussion about sex semen nearly 20 years ago. And back in 2004, we had the first sex semen produced in England, as we were not able to produce it here in Denmark. But since 2006, we've been producing here. And we had the aim of replacing all the bull calves with heifer calves or more valuable bull calves crosses, beef crosses. And that is something that farmers have adapted, especially here at home market, where you mentioned now more than 70% of the Jersey semen sold is sexed, but also at our international or global markets. Mm-hmm. So it's not but it's not only the unwanted bull calves; it's also the demand for heifers or livestock around, especially Europe, that has created more interest in breeding extra offspring for sale. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Now, when sex semen first came out, quite a few farmers, they were worried about the conception rate. Klaus, where is that today?
Yes, that's what we saw in the beginning. Of course, this was a new product, and we did also see that there was a lower conception rate with the sex semen. And honestly, that's also what we see today. But we have, during these years, there has been a very nice improvement in the conception rate from the sex semen. So we do hear that from farmers saying that they tried sex semen years back and they are a bit reluctant to that as it is today. But it's a very much highly improved product today. If we look at ratios, then you say that if you compare sexed dose with a conventional dose, then in the beginning it might be at around 80% concept or fertile compared to a conventional dose, where we today easily can promise 90%. And I would also say, if you are a farmer and you are very skilled in reproduction in your herd, you can expect almost same conception rate from sex semen as you can with conventional semen.
Right. So I also hear from some farmers that they're hesitant around using sex semen because the price of a typical sex semen dose is about twice as much as a conventional. What would be your input to farmers hesitating due to the price of the dose?
I think you would say that there will be cases in where farmers are actually not in a situation where they should use sex semen, both because of this a little bit lower fertility, male fertility in the semen dose, but also if the farmer is poor on his reproduction in his herd. It might be just a transition in his herd. It can also be a long-term issue. Then he shouldn't use sex semen. But you could say with an average to good reproduction, you can easily gain this in your herd, this extra cost to a semen dose. That's a minor thing compared to the value and all the opportunities you get in your herd from having the ability to use sex semen.
So sex semen is definitely getting increasingly popular, and now we'll look at how to get the most of it. Klaus, when you speak to, for instance, a Holstein farmer looking to use sex semen, what are the first things you recommend that he takes into consideration?
I think the starting point is, as in many cases, is for the farmer to realize what does he actually want in his herd, to make a strategy to be sure that, you say, that the breeding work he does, that it's connected to what he actually wants from his herd. There's a lot of different ways to go in this. So he should be very open about what strategy does he actually have in this. And there is, you could say, using the sex semen, that gives you plenty of opportunities. You can start to breed more intensively in your herd on your best females. You can get a higher genetic gain in your herd. That's one of the good elements. But you can also use beef semen, as Peter mentioned, on, you could say, optimize the beef production on in your herd from the poorest genetically dairy animals, so there is a lot of benefits you can have, and that's, you would say, all depending on your strategy in your herd.
We heard from Jersey before, it's 70% doses sold last year. What does the sex semen curve look like for Holstein?
It's maybe the slope is it's not as high for the Jersey, but it's growing also. The use we see here in Denmark is around 25%, both for Holstein and for the Viking Red breed. So it's also growing just like Holstein, just from a little bit lower level.
Peter, when you again you go around visit the farms and stuff, what examples have you seen of sex semen really boosting and making a difference in a Jersey dairy business?
Well, I've seen different scenarios because conditions are different in different countries. But looking at the home market first, there are farmers that have really focused on breeding extra offspring for sale. Some use 100% or nearly 100% ex-week or sex semen. And they sell heifers for the European market, and that's very good business. Some choose a totally different strategy, using only the ratio of sex semen you need to reproduce your own herd, And that means you might only use 30% sex semen on your best animals, and then 70% of the poorest animals in the herd are bred to beef. So very different. You also see that in different countries. In US, for instance, where the demand for jerseys have been very, very huge over the last 5 to 10 years, the increase has been extreme. And many US farmers use up to 80-90% sex semen because there is a good market. We see the same in Norway. Norway is part of this breeding cooperation we have for jerseys. And in Norway, 98% of the semen is Jersey semen is sex semen. So that's actually a world record. The whole population uses nearly solely sex semen.
Wow. So why should I even use conventional semen when we're hearing about this, Klaus?
Yeah, you say in some cases you maybe shouldn't, or in many cases you shouldn't. But I think it's we should still be open to say that there can be issues at a herd where it is too costly to use the sex semen. It might just be due to some issues due to, you could say, the environment or the management or whatever for a few months or whatever in the herd, but it can also be on long term. So say it's highly related to the farmer's ability for reproduction in his herd. I would say there can be cases where it's conventional semen is the best choice.
Peter? And there is a little bit of a difference between our breeds, because for the Jersey breeds, the value of the bull calf, purebred bull calf, so low that the profitability of the herd is harmed more if you breed those purebred bull calves. So if you have, as Klaus mentioned, cows, females that does not work with sex semen, then I would prefer to use beef on those. So strategies are a little bit different. And for jerseys, there will be a ban or more or less for culling newborn bull calves. Some farmers have been practicing that until now, but it'll stop. And it has stopped in many countries. You cannot kill the newborn bulls, so you need to act differently when you breed jerseys.
And sex semen can be a real tool for that.
Mm.
So in order to get optimal use of sex semen, what I'm hearing, I need to somehow find a way to identify and preferably categorize my best females, find out who they are. Peter, how do I as a farmer know which heifers, which cows are the best ones to sort of focus my breeding on and use sex semen for?
Well, on our conditions, it's quite easy, simple, because we have breeding values. And we use the breeding values to rank the females in the herds. So the better females in the herd, they are the ones that should breed the next generation of cows in your herd. And you can make calculations showing that 30% will be enough to reproduce yourself. If you do not have breeding values, what we've seen in France, Norway until now, they did not have any breeding values. It also count for many other countries, do not have breeding values on their animals. And then we, of course, like we do here, recommend that you do genomic testing. Genomic testing adds extra reliability to the breeding values. So you get a better selection tool, more reliable selection tool. And if you do have nothing, then to my mind, the option is to genomic test. Mm. You can genomic test in our system, in Nordic countries. And please investigate that more. It's a good option for you.
And how do I actually genomically test my animals? How does it work?
Oh, it's a matter of us getting some DNA. It can be DNA from tissue, it can be DNA from blood, it can be DNA from hair. So it's just a matter of sending DNA samples to us, and then we have a cooperation with a lab here, and then we will do the testing and measuring the breeding values.
So Klaus, once I know who my best females are from these tests, How do I select the best bulls with the sex semen?
You could say that in general, there's no difference how you select your bulls if you use conventional or sexed. I think that say that that depends on again what you want in your herd, and you should choose among the best those the best bulls that fits the criteria that you need for your herd. Then of course there is always the issue of. Say there can be bulls where you do not have the offer to actually purchase the sex semen, and that's of course our obligation to make sure that we have sex semen available and conventional, but both products available for the farmers, so they can freely make that choice if they what kind of product they want in this. So you would say the choice of yeah, the genetic you bring into your herd is the same. You're just more sure to get the heifer calf that you need for your future production by using the sex dose.
Mm-hmm. And Peter, the sex doses in this case are called XVIC and YVIC. What is what and when should I use what, so to speak?
Well, XVIC is the product giving you heifer calves. YVIC is the product giving you bull calves. And YVIC, normally we only use YVIC when we are talking about beef breeds. You can also have Jersey YVIC. We use that when we make flushes sometime to produce bulls for our own breeding program. But YVIC is actually a beef product. And when you pick and choose, you use XVIC on your better animals in the herd and YVIC on the poor. And as mentioned before, some used 30% XVIC on the better and 70% beef on the rest. I think the trend will be that we will be going for 30-40% XVIC on the better. That will be our national strategy or our strategy in Nordic countries, and beef on the poorest, and in future it will be YVIC beef. Today YVIC beef is less than 25%, but it is increasing rapidly.
Mm-hmm. And what's the process of even producing, let's say, an XVIC dose? What are the steps involved, the collaboration between the different entities, so to speak?
Yeah, it's very important that there is close collaboration between departments in semen production. So first, the barn staff are handling the bulls. It's very, very important that we handle the bulls in the right way, that they are mature, developed, so they're ready for semen production. But we see that there are a few bulls that will not be able to produce sex semen. And of course, it is frustrating if it's a bull with a very high NTM value and he will never produce. The barn staff is excellent in handling the bulls and making the bulls ready for production and trying different methods of optimizing the semen production. But unfortunately, we have to drop a few percent of the bulls every year because they are not able to. But in reality, they are supposed to produce sex semen, all of them for doses. Otherwise, they are not of interest to us. Well, if they can produce a couple of doses and we can make a couple of flushes, then we will get next generation and then we'll have to do with the sons. Then the collaboration between us doing running the breeding program and the barn staff with lab staff is also of very high importance, so that we optimize on the semen production all through the whole process. And in the end, then we need that the semen is handled very well by AI technicians, and the farmers in the end know what strategy they're going for.
Just a comment to this, because I do actually think some of the improvement we have seen in the product over time, it's highly related to exactly what Peter is telling here, that this cooperation between our lab and our barn people, that they, you could say, analyze and they are careful in selecting and treating animals correct. Also, of course, machinery is a thing. There's been an improvement in that. But definitely also the skills from the people handling these machines. I think we shouldn't underestimate that, because it's handwork. They really need to work with this for a long time in order to be very good at it. And that's what they are. They're very skilled in this, and it's visible 100% in the end product that they do a good job there. So that's important to add to it, I think.
And also the follow-up from research and development. To start with, we had this very, very big trial with 200,000 inseminations, doing a check up on the first product that we made, and edited our procedures early on. But also today, we have constant follow-ups on non-return rates and all what can be traced. And now, as mentioned in the previous podcast, we have introduced the batch coding that will also enable us to optimize more on both procedures and quality.
So when I actually received the first sex semen dose, it's only the best semen that gets through. It's only everything that's sent out has gone through a series of quality checks, by the sounds of it. So Klaus, to summarize, you know, receiving the first doses of sex semen, I'm out on the farm, what ultimately needs to be in place for me now to make the most of this this dose?
You say the female sex dose, you could say you need to have identified which animals that you want to breed for the next generation and use the sex dose there, meaning that you make an optimal genetic progress in your herd. If you have even genomic tested, like Peter mentioned, then you have the refined tool to do this the most optimal way. But traditional breeding values are also valuable in this, of course. So you would say you can make optimized genetic progress, and that will you gain from that from generation to generation. And then you can optimize the outcome from the beef production from the rest of the herd. In that, and I think here it's for the farmers, it's important to find that balance, because it can be too extreme in both cases. You can use not enough female semen, so you say you don't get that genetic progress. You might get a surplus of heifers that you cannot use, but you can also go in the other direction where you actually use too much beef. Maybe then you lack heifers to replace your own herd, and that will be very costly if you have to go and purchase more dairy heifers for your herd. So this that you on farm level find this right balance between beef and sex doses, I think that's the optimal way to go forward.
So it sounds like, as with everything else in successful cattle breeding, I really need strategy, need a plan, need to think things through, work with different scenarios, how to make the most of sexed semen. Peter, how do you see sexed semen progress in the future?
It'll be huge, and standard will be for doses that nearly 100% of the doses semen used will be sexed in the future. And it'll be in the near future in Nordic countries, but in most other Jersey populations, it'll come over the next 5 to 10 years. The main reason for Jerseys adapting this and going for nearly 100% is the profitability. There is more profitability in your herd when you get rid of those worthless Jersey bull calves. But another thing is the sustainability. And sustainability is not only stop culling unwanted bull calves. It's also that when you go for only 30% of your best animals breeding next generation, then you can go straight after health, fertility, longevity. So optimize on those so that you ensure that next generation really improves on those traits. And that's also boosting your the profitability, no, the sustainability of your herd. So it's also very, very important to have that in mind. We try to offer you a variation of options. And this is one of them, that using sex semen, using sex semen strategies offers you new options, and that leads to higher satisfaction and better life as a farmer. So we truly expect this to grow, and we wish you all the best of luck with it, because we are sure that you will notice a huge change.
And actually, in our next episode of the Breedcast, we will focus on trends in Jersey breeding with you as our guest, Peter. And we will look at the use of sex semen, not only that, but all the tools available to really boost the health and profit of a Jersey herd. Klaus, what I'm hearing when there's talk about sex semen, I'm hearing this connection to sustainability. The cow of the future, the more sort of environmentally climate-friendly cow. How do you see this link?
I see a perfect link in this, because this is, I think this is a really, really fine, strong example of when there is a nice link between profitability for the herd and for the farmer and a more sustainable production. I think that's a nice it goes hand in hand in this case, and that's also why I think this will be such a huge success and be the preferred product in the future, because you can, as Peter say, you can see from a farmer perspective, you can optimize your herd, at the same time you can do a more sustainable production, and that's what our farmers also like to do, because they see the responsibility in their farming for the society in general.
Thank you so much for joining our Breedcast today. We've looked at how to make the most of sex semen in your dairy herd, and we've also looked into the future, where it sounds like that sex semen might actually become the rule and conventional semen the more the exception. If you would like to learn more, you can visit our sex semen page in the products and solutions area on vikinggenetics.com. Thank you, Klaus Langdal and Peter Larsen, for sharing these valuable insights with us. And thank you to everyone out there, of course, for listening. If you have an idea for a topic in cattle breeding that you'd like us to focus on, you can contact us via the website, shoot us an email, or find us on Facebook, Viking Genetics Facebook page, and send us a message. My name is Louise Rowan-Svane. Please join me for the next Breedcast, which will be about how to breed healthy and profitable Jersey cows.